Hallelujah. It's good for us to be here. Welcome somebody to church. It's good for us to be here. I'm happy I'm here with you today. It's good for us to be here indeed. In the presence of God, there's fullness of joy. And we are here today with our brothers and sisters. It's good for us to be here. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Today I want to go on to show you in my final hour some very important points. This is my final hour. It has been a very rich and enriching discussion the past 4 hours. This is my final hour. This is my fifth hour in my conversation about the things that God wants to give to us. Yes. And how it will get to us, how it will enter into our lives. This year, glad tidings of good things. We are moving beyond the news to the things. Because when somebody speaks to you of good news, it is because something good is there. It means there are good things, and there are glad tidings of good things. We don't just want to hear about the good things. We want to enjoy the good things. We want to enter into them. And we're entering this into these things by the grace and the mercy and the power of God. And for the past 4 weeks, I have been showing you and talking to you about the human side of the divine blessings. That human side is very important. If you must walk in the divine blessings, you must understand that He would send His word. The word of God was made what? Flesh. The things that God wants to do in your life must be fleshed. They must pass through flesh, right, to you. And so your relationship and understanding this human side is very critical to your enjoying these things. So your ability to deal, to walk with the human side would now bring the blessing, would now bring the manifestation of the blessing. Because if you just relate with God, and many believers have this issue, I've told you, they relate with God and walk away with joy and say that God will do this thing in my life. He will do it through humans. He will send somebody. He will send His word to you in the form of what? Flesh. The word became flesh. So God's word to you will be fleshed. It will be manifest in your life through a human flesh. To be manifest in your life through human flesh. Today, my final hour, I don't normally teach in numbers, point number one, point number two. I just bring the truth like this. But this is the best way. I told you, I kept on adjusting the way I was teaching these things. And this is the best way I could bring these things to you. And today I will show you how to, I want to just wrap it up with this. The title, How to Identify and Activate Divine Helpers.
Hallelujah.
We pray for divine helpers in our lives. We pray for God to bring people into our lives to help us. We pray earnestly, and the Lord has answered our prayers and has heard us, and He has sent helpers into our lives. He has positioned them all around us. It is now for us to learn to identify them and to activate them. Not just to identify them, but to also activate them. And this is very important. These points I want to give to you, that you open up your heart, receive them. Now, some of them, because of my previous 4 hours, I'm going to brush past them because I've already explained them sufficiently within those 4 hours. But some of them I have not talked about at all. And so we're going to spend some more time in some of the points than in the other points. Hallelujah. So I'm going to just jump in again. This is my final hour. Next week, Sunday, is Easter Sunday. So I'm wrapping up this. And next week, Sunday, we'll begin a powerful something, powerful teaching. And we'll get into something very powerful. The Lord already spoke to me concerning Easter Sunday. So I'm already prepared. I'm prepared to just bring that word to you. And if you're not careful, I'll just add it to this one now. We'll stay here for 4 hours and finish up everything today because it's already rich inside of me. All right, but nobody wants to stay that long in church. So, let's go. Point number one, how to identify and activate your divine helpers in your life. divine helpers are all around you. How do you identify and activate them? Point number one, divine helpers are not always some big influential individuals. I just started with that point number one for identification. You can use most of these points for identification and for activation. So I'm not going to specify them. But the points I'm giving to you, they will help you identify and activate. But this will be served for identification. Divine helpers are not always some big influential individuals. And this point is the point where many people miss it. Ah, and that man are my helper before. No. And when the man they are talking about, you know, that man. And then everybody around, useless set of people. That man, that is the divine helper, and that's what they are thinking, and that is not true. The divine helpers, I'm saying that again, they might not be always some big influential individuals. So, the problem is that if you understand this point number one, you have to just stay here because I'm going like that. I won't stop to try to catch you, so you have to stay because I have 8 points to cover. And some of them are richer than this, so stay, please. I'm begging you. Very important truths. The problem is that we can miss God's helper for our lives because we are looking at some big influential person there, and then the divine helpers are around us, and we are praying to God, we are stoning them, rejecting them, and praying to God to send that big person who will come and give us something and they will change our lives. But divine helpers are not always some big influential people. Now I can read all. You have to go back to my 4 hours. You have to. I'm not going to do the notes or do that. I can't try to do that. If I do that, I will spill, and I cannot spill this thing here. So, we know the story. I'm going to read some for you, but there are others we will not need to cover. Now, I'm going to read one very important story that will add to the wealth of stories I've given to you. Now, remember we talked about Elijah and the widow. Hear God, Almighty God, I have commanded the widow woman to feed you. Widow woman. Who would ever have thought that a widow woman would be a divine helper? I mean, of all people to help Elijah, it is the widow woman. You have to take note. Imagine, God is funny. You look at helper and you think it has to be rich, influential person. No, in this case, God said, everything I want to do for you, I put it down with that widow woman. So a divine helper does not have to be somebody wealthy, has to be somebody that God has designed and commanded to help you. Then we have another story. We've read the story, so I'm putting them together. We have another story in the case of David. David's divine helper was a sick slave. Sick and weak slave. Right? David's divine helper was a sick and weak slave here. And then we have David here coming into meeting this man, and David would have thought that the person who would help him deliver his family, get his family and properties back, would be a warrior, would be a big influential warrior, right? But in this case, again, it was somebody that was sick and weak, and that man was David's divine helper. I can't read the passage. You have to go for hours. People always complain I recap. If I recap and read that thing, we won't live here. I have 8 points. This is point number one. And I don't have time. So if this thing is a blessing to you, are getting something, go get the stories and read them. I will read the ones we need to read in terms of this context and go forward. So God is speaking and saying, I have commanded the widow woman to feed you. I mean the widow woman. And so if you look down on the people around you, you might miss God's divine helper for your life. It could be, it's as much as your friends and people around you. So they are around you, they are there. I believe, and I have taught you before, that everything that God wants to give to you, they are always around you. No mother prepares lunch for the children and leaves the house and puts the lunch somewhere the children won't get it. Nobody does that. You will put the lunch where they will get it. You will even drop a note describing what the lunch is. So God is not crazy and says your helper is away, is somewhere you will not be able to, you don't know, you won't get the person. The people around you have been appointed by God
to take care of you and to be your helpers. You now have to identify them. So the identifying helpers, this is a big difference between people that are walking in the grace and blessing of God and people who are not. Because most people just say that it's the rich man that is their helper. It's that big person there that has money is their helper. That is not true. It's going to be somebody around you. The slave there is helping you. The widow woman is helping you. It was Mordecai who was a slave that saved the life of the king. It's not saying my divine helpers are my security guards around me. It might not be. Somebody will hear something and then help you. It is also the slaves of Naaman that told him about the prophet, and that's how he got his healing, right? His divine helper was what? A slave. He had everything. He himself was a great general. His divine helper was in a slave. And so people who treat, in quotes, small people anyhow, they are many times, they are missing God's divine helper for their lives. That is the gospel truth. Right. Now, I will read one, because we need this story. It's in Ruth chapter number 1. Naomi. Who would have known that Naomi was a divine helper to Ruth? Come on. And it came to pass in the days, look at this. When the judge is Ruth, in fact, learn this scripture. The stone which the builders rejected have become chief of the corner. So that in many cases, divine helpers will not be people. Because glory will come from there. I don't want any flesh to glory in my presence. So he will find a way to help you through many other means outside of somebody that is great. Many times. Pay attention. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. Next verse. I'm reading this for context because we will use this story. And the name of the man was, we've read many stories, we've not read this one, so we need this one. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons Mahlon and Chilion, Ephratites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. Next verse. Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab, and the name of one was Orpha, and the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelt there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. And the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. So she dies left of means they left her. Then she arose with her daughters in law, and that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters in law with her, and they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters in law, go. Return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. Next verse. And they said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb, that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, go your way. For I am too old to have an husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have an husband also tonight, and should also bear sons, would ye tarry for them till they were grown? Would ye stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me for much for your sakes, that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. And they lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orpha kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. You see that now. Go to chapter number 4 quickly. Chapter number 4. I think verse number 13. All right. I'll give you the gist. Let's just read it first. So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. Now Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And when he went in unto her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. Right? Next verse. And the woman said unto Naomi, blessed be the Lord, God, blessed be the Lord. And the women now, right, said unto Naomi, blessed be the Lord, which had not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. Next verse. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life, and a nourisher of thine old age. For thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than what? 7 sons had borne him. These things are important. He said David had killed his thousands, right? Right. And now they are saying, they said it, that this lady was better to thee than 7 sons had borne him. Next verse. As the boy, the son. And Naomi took the child and laid it in her bosom and became nurse unto it. Next verse. And the woman and the women and her neighbors gave it a name, saying, There is a son born to Naomi, and they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. You see that now. Ruth entered into the life of Naomi, and who had lost everything. So Naomi had lost everything. Ruth entered into her life, and Naomi was the one to help her enter into her own destiny. You get that? Naomi had lost everything. Ruth entered into her life and stayed with her and suffered with her. Right? So I'll give you some other points. And then it was this Naomi now, it was through this Naomi she was going to enter into the lineage of Jesus Christ. So who you think is not worthy, can't help me. You look at Naomi like that, standing there, there was nothing to her. I mean, nothing. I'm sure somebody could run away from her. Somebody says that her husband died, her sons died, me, I will not join. There's death around her. I mean, somebody has said that. I told you a story sometime. Somebody has said that. I mean, how can somebody lost the father, lost the mother, lose her brothers and sisters? She's only one day. I said, I just said this night. They say, I can't marry somebody like that. There's death around her. I will die too. I mean, who says that? Where do you get that from? You come and be, and you don't understand that this is the person who God wants to bring into your life to help you. And that is why I will give you further points in this direction here. But this story is very instructional. Now, in this help, this story, this very story, it is like this and like that. While Ruth was helping Naomi, Naomi was actually also helping Ruth. Right? We'll get there. That's point number one. Divine helpers are not always some big influential individuals. So if you say it was Naomi that helped Ruth, right? Then Naomi was a widow. If you say it was Ruth that helped Naomi, then what was there to Ruth? There was nothing to Ruth. She was not a single young lady there who married somebody and her husband died. So, divine helpers are not actually big things there. They are just people that God has given a command, positioned around you to help you. Right. Point number two. Your divine helpers, in many instances, may not know his or her role. Divine helpers, in many instances, do not know. They don't know their role. They don't know what they are doing for you. Why I say that, I'll give you the story. This one, we can fly past this one fast. I will start with Naomi. The stories are in the scripture, so I'll just give them to you. Naomi obviously did not know. Naomi did not know that she would help Ruth enter into the lineage of Jesus. She did not know that she would help Ruth give birth to Obed. Obed was the father of Jesse. That's something very beautiful. It might be strange for you, but it is beautiful. Obed, just the Obed. And she was not so far from David like this, and she didn't know. Naomi didn't know that through her life, that it was through her influence and modeling and helping that David would be born. And they know of David, though. They've been reading prophets since. And they knew. But she didn't know. So she was telling Ruth and Orpah to go. If she knew, she would have been saying, follow me, follow me. Right? She would have been saying, follow me, because she will know precisely that, see, it is, I will help you. My life is connected to David, the Messiah. I mean, there's no faith there. You must remember, there's no faith there. And so, the divine helpers, many times, they are around you, but they don't know their role. All these points are connected together. I'll go somewhere, we'll touch this thing later. They don't know their role. So, the widow woman did not know she was to feed Elijah. She didn't know. There was a command there. There was something in her. There's an ability, but she did not know it was her role to help feed Elijah. Right? She did not know she had a command. You know why? When Elijah came to her, she said, I don't have anything. I don't have anything. When the man of God came, she said, I don't have anything. So she did not know. She said, okay, it's my role. Okay, this I have. Then she didn't know her role. Then Naomi did not know her role. Many a times, the people, the helpers around you, in many instances, they do not know their role. We have cases where we talk about the angels, and when they came, they knew their role was to help Lot, right? They knew, but Lot did not know. So there's this important thing there about building a relationship, building relationships. You now need relationships, right? That is why you need to connect. That is why this cut off spiritual. That's why I told you, don't cut anything off. Don't do anything. Don't do it. It doesn't cost you to leave a connection without breaking it. I have connections that I have left, but I don't need to cut them. In essence, their connection, I don't call them. You don't insult. You don't do that. You can just walk away. You can just get there. Just a good morning. He said, no, don't cut it. Right? Don't destroy anyone there. Just build relationship. And so I'll go to my third point. I told you some of them will move past them. Now, point number three. Now, they do not know, but a relationship or a bond would always be formed with your helper. When that's point number three. There's always going to be a relationship or a bond with the helper. Now, it could be an old relationship, it can be a new relationship. So don't destroy anyone. But there's a relationship. There will be a relationship. They don't fall from sky. It doesn't happen from sky. There will be a relationship somewhere. It will be a seed you have sown. Many times, I'll say many instances, because there are instances where it may not. But there's a relationship, like for the angels now, who came to help Lot. A relationship was formed. I'll still show you that a relationship was formed. Because he said, come and eat in my house. Right? So, there's a relationship or a bond. That's why I said relationship or bond. There will be something that will now have connected you. And that person will now enter. That now activating the helper. Right? I will activate the person because there's no, help me get this stuff. You help this person. I know you're not helping that. You know, there's something will happen that would a bond. It might not be a relationship as if I've known you for years, but there'll be that bond there, and it will help build that relationship. Like in the case of Lot with the angels, there was a bond. Not a relationship, but there was a bond, right? In the case of Naomi and Ruth, there was a relationship. In the case of Jesus and the couple, he turned their water to wine in their wedding, there was also a relationship or bond. I don't know. We could say relationship, we could say bond, but I don't think they were that close. I don't think they were way tops of them, but I think they invited him like, one of our guys. They just invited him. So they didn't even know who he was, right? They just knew he was one of the guys around there. So there's always going to be that thing there. So don't play with relationships. They are one of the greatest things that God has given to you. I mean, you are building and nourishing them. Some will build and nourish and they will flourish and bless you, right? I told you Jesus had 12 disciples. One betrayed him, but 11 blessed him. So you don't have to say, nah, I'm going to be on guard. If he was on guard and block all the level, he won't get anything there. Don't do that. It is a human flesh thing. They tell you everywhere on social media, but they're not standing from scriptures here. And scriptures will say you should build and nourish relationships. So point number one, divine helpers are not always some big influential individuals. Point number two, divine helpers in many instances may not know his or her role in your life. I don't even know what I'm doing in your life, but this is my role and I'll do that. I'll just be your friend here for some time. The couple did not know that Jesus would come and turn water to wine in their wedding. They didn't know the role. They just know, but they had a relationship, right? And then a relationship or bond would always be formed with your helper. So if you're not going to form relationships and bonds and you're going to be sharp, you could be cutting your helpers away from you. Point number four. Divine helpers may even need your belief and support to get to the point where they can now help you. Right? That is clear. We've done that. Divine helpers may even need your point and support to get to the point where they are now activated. That's what I talk about identifying what? To either identify and activate. Because sometimes the divine helper himself needs to be activated. The case of David with the sick slave is a clear one. The man there was divine helper. He didn't know, but he needed support. He needed first of all to be treated and he needed to eat first. Right? So that is clear, number one. Ruth also, again, that's why I read Ruth. Ruth, number two. Ruth was helping Naomi till Naomi gave her a cancer. So the idea is also, it is clear that divine helpers may may even need your help and support, right? That is why my first 2 hours, that's why I think this approach to help our help us, but my first hours will help you. When I talked about the fact that you are helping people, right? I say helping people. Because funnily, the people that will help you, you might even have needed to help them first before they will now be strong enough and big enough to help you. Right? Then another case in point is the case of the man and the servants. He was taking care of them. They called him father. Schooled some, helped some and all that, and built them, gave them skills, they learned some trade under him, and they called him father. So it was his help first and support that returned back to him when they also now helped him. So many times your divine helpers may even need your help and support. Before they get to the point where they can now actually help you. Naomi was discouraged in her mind. She said she had failed in her mind. And so Ruth's presence with her was a moral boost. She became confident and she was going on having somebody by her side and helping her. The shame that she had, Ruth helped her break it. She got to a place where she was confident and said, Ruth, come. There's this guy there. He's our kinsman. I will tell you what to do. She gave him wise counsel here. And then she told her step by step what to do. You will read the story yourself and then you will see how she now Ruth now got into what she could get into. But if she left her like that, she was not very nice. So you see that Ruth helped her, right? Ruth helped her to the point. So divine helpers may even need your help and support till they get to the place where they can now help you. The servant's case was also, the slave was also a rich one, very rich one. He was sick. At that stage, he couldn't help David. Right? And then subsequently, David took care of him, and then he grows up to help David. So these keys, I think they are very powerful, right? Yes, help him get his miracle. All right. Naaman helped them till they grew, and they could help him get his own miracle too. That helping thing and being kind is very important. Point number 5. You have a role in activating your helpers. You have a role in activating your helpers. Your actions may also deactivate their help. Your actions may also deactivate their help. Now, you see, you have a role. That point is well connected to the previous one there. And that's what I want to talk about, your humility, your kindness, and thanksgiving. You are giving thanks and you are appreciating the people around you. Your role in helping them, your role, you have a role, you have to be a kind of a person. Now, are you here? So you could also say you have a role. My first line there when I made my first notes was you have to be a kind of a person to activate your helpers. It's a kind of a person that activates the helper. Now, that's why I say you have a role, but you have to be a kind of a person. Now, if you are a helping person, in the case of Lot, it was his role that activated them. They came to Sodom, but they didn't come to his house. It was his role. It was what he did. He kind of the person that he was that activated them. Right? So you have a role to play. Then you are humble. Ruth, just humble and nice. It was her role and her persistence help to the woman, to Naomi, is what activated her own mind and said, all right, there's something I will do for you. So you have that role there. And then thanksgiving is very important. There was a time, you know, somebody said, you know, you did something for somebody, I did something for somebody, and I never forget in my life. I mean, many times, at this thing, it's very funny. I never forget in my life. I did something, I just put something to somebody. And then, you know, being spiritual is when the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves. In essence, I'm under obligation. Like, it's... You don't have option there. You know, it's like if I deserve it, it's so clear. I'm like, seriously? Now my head is the cold Bible food. Seriously? You know? It's not like that. If you can enter into this thing wrongly and without appreciation, that key will mean that somebody can do something for you. You will say, what the hell? What the hell? What the hell? What have you done? Nothing. You know, I have consciously built this thing by myself and you are only responding to it. Let me tell you. You're not responding to anything. It is the kindness and the goodness of his heart that will cause that thing to pass through that person into your life. People don't miss it there. So if you are, I don't forget that in my life, but the idea here is that your person can also deactivate your helpers. You are not, if you come out and you are not appreciative, that thing when people say about, talk about, I don't think that, you know,
I'll show you something. I'll show you a scripture. Just you can be considering the Romans chapter number 16. I'll show you so that I say these things first. You know, that thing when people talk about Thanksgiving, that's why I said Thanksgiving here. You are like, Thanksgiving to God. No. People don't thank people, don't appreciate them. They feel that it is their right to receive help from them. That is what you have done is nothing. So, but the truth is this. Thanksgiving, that real thing about giving thanks when they say I activate God. I've told you many times, it's nonsense. It's man can activate. It's his man that have ego. God don't have ego. You cannot thank God and he say his head will swell. It's a very dumb statement. Very dumb thing. He does everything according to the counsel of his will. You can't move him by your thanksgiving, but you can move in flesh by your thanksgiving. You know what I'm saying there? You can move flesh by your thanksgiving. You can't move God. You can't come to God and you want to trick him. You say, I'm thanking you. I told you, I taught you this in life. All right. You know, there's some things I need. So you are tricking him and say, when you thanksgiving, you will not say, No. But that thing they teach, that thing is for a man. Do it for a man to work. Do it for your helper. It will open doors. Did you hear what I said? Do it for a man. It will work. Every time it will catch him. Because my point number six, which you take note of this. Okay, take note, write it. Point number six. I'll give you the verse for point number five. Divine helpers, being humans, will always have human flaws. So you must learn to tackle that also. That pride is there. Ego is there. Overthinking is there. I will guide you in the scriptures. So I'm connecting the two of them there. So can I go back to point number five?
Yes,
sir. He's a human being. So he has ego. He has pride. When you blow it and say, thank you, sir. I really appreciate you. I really appreciate what you have done for me. In fact, this stuff. You see, he will give you more.
Yes,
you can activate him by thanking, by being thankful. Right? In Romans chapter number 16 and verse number 4, I'll give you one scripture and I will move truly there. And you have to be a kind of a person. Romans chapter number 16 and verse number 4. Read from verse number 3. Let's go to verse number 3. Alright. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus. Right? Next verse. Who have for my life laid down their own necks. Unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. What would you think would precede? Paul, let me tell you, I probably said this now. They strengthen to do more. But the reason why Paul is very instructional here is that Paul was an apostle. It means that he could say that. I mean, Paul could have said they should do it by rights. It was their job to lay down their life, their necks for him. But Paul didn't think so. You might not have gotten that. Let me do it again. If Paul, apostle, don't let somebody say like me, I'm a pastor. And so somebody does something, I say, I'm a pastor. So no, sir. No. It doesn't imply. Thanksgiving is works for everybody. Let me tell you, till today, I mean, it's a function of life. And I'm telling you these things, and I'm hoping that you are learning. And I'm praying to God. This is one of the greatest things I've taught in my life. I'm telling you. Maybe in bits and pieces, but together like this, I've never done it. This they say. Even your staff working for you does something, say thank you. I mean, I'm not joking. It's normal. Somebody cannot give me something. Say, God, bring it. I will not say thank you. I mean, it's not a good, it's a habit that entered into. It's normal. It's not. I came to work one time. I did some stuff. My staff did something. I said, thank you very much. I said, doesn't now stop. It doesn't now say I will not say thank you. Why? I've had people that did not do it. Abby. About people that have even done negative. I mean, I'm not around, and the thing they will do to me, we like you. But you know this, so I will not say, since you are a staff, you are supposed to do it. I mean, there's nothing there. It's habitual. Learn these habits. Thank you. You are asking for something. I don't know. It's not so hard. Say, please. Please, can you help me? Thank you. Oh, please send it. Oh, please do that. Oh, thank you. It doesn't kill you. Be really genuinely appreciative for when people do things for you. You can actually activate your helpers. You can deactivate them. Somebody is telling you something. Is your right, Abby? I'm not doing it again. What will you do? You can lose here by not just being appreciative. Not just a simple thank you. Real gratitude from your heart for the things done for you will activate the person to do more. You and I know, because you are here, that somebody that appreciates you will be moved to do more for that person.
So you too appreciate somebody, and that helper will suddenly do moves to do more for you. In that thing about ego, do thanksgiving and the person's head will rise, it is for men, it's not for God. And this is the place where we should use it. We are trying to use it for God, why we have not even used it for men? You don't thank people, they're not really appreciative. You're appreciative of what has been, what you have given to them and what has come into their life. And so they take it like that. So Paul says that, unto whom also, whom not only I give thanks. So Paul was thankful to members, to people who did it. He didn't say, I'm an apostle. It is, so if you do something for me, it is within my rights. That's Paul. That's very powerful. Very powerful. Very instructional. He didn't say it's within my right to do it, that you will do it. And Paul says, not only I give thanks, so, but he announced it everywhere. He says, but also the churches of the Gentiles, all of them, give thanks to people. What will happen to Priscilla and Aquila? They'll step up more. They will help him more. They will do more for him. Learn it. Learn it. These things will help you learn them. Thank you, sir. Respect. Somebody could give you, I did many things. I was talking to my pastors, I'll talk to them. You see, people don't understand. You look at life, you say, respect. I've broken records several times. I served in a place where nobody I served. I'm seeing a couple in front of me, so that's what I remember. I mean, I served in a place where nobody I served. I mean, the person that served there, the first person that served there, the only person that served there, they retained him. From him, nobody else has served there, 10 years. Simple respect and dealing with him. I dealt with him. We met some time. I dealt with him in a certain way and I approached him for this job. He said, all right, I'm going to talk to somebody. He's talking. After me, nobody has served there again, ever. I was telling him, I said, don't say it's the grace of God. You know, you're a pastor. The human side is very important. I'm not joking. When you come and say, good morning, sir, how hard is it to say good morning, sir? That respect, open doors. Finish. I'm telling you. He won't do, let me tell you something. He will not also say, do this. I did. I did. But, alas, he paved the way for me. I got what I wanted. I wanted to be in that place. It was going to be convenient for me. It was going to be many things for me. And it was very convenient. It was perfect for me. I did for him. I did stuff for him. Relationship with people. So, I mean, for me to know that, if you say that, I mean, I can tell you, I'll tell you, go to the place. It's not hard. It's not, we can verify. But say, for me, you're not saying there's something, but there's not, really, there's nothing. It's the human side. If you can deal with the human side, you will see things you never see. My place where I stay, my house, I'm the longest tenant I've stayed there longer than any soul that is in the beauty house. You know what I'm talking about? He says, divine something. The daughter attends a church. Here. The pastor of the church stayed there and left. The mother called the pastor and insulted the pastor. The daughter went to apologize. It's not pastor. I'm not the first pastor to stay there. Let me tell you. There's the human side to everything. If you understand that human side, it will feel free. I know. You might take it, you might not take it. You might say it's game story. People say all those kind of things. And then they envy you and curse you and say, pastor is a thief. They say a man of things. But if you don't understand the human side, you continue to miss God. He'll be doing his work in your life. You'll be missing him. There's so much he can do. He won't come down and move people. He will use your hand. You can use your hand to spoil it. Nabal almost died because of his foolishness. David would have killed him. If you were service on Wednesday, you know, Pastor Faith talked about that Nabal thing there. And from where she talked about it, that's when it got to my mind. As I was doing that, I entered there. But listen, right? We'll get there. All right. So your humility, your respect, your thanksgiving can activate the helper. It can even make the helper go do more for you. Right? Your kindness. David was kind to the slave, and then the slave what? Helped him. So you can activate the helper, or you can walk past the helper and you suffer. Do you see what I'm saying there? You can walk past the person and suffer. And be suffering. Why? Because you didn't activate your helper. How do you activate your helper? Kindness. How did Ruth activate Naomi? Kindness. How did Ruth become Ruth? You blessed is she. Obed is the father of Jesse. Jesse is the father of David. That's Ruth. That's something powerful. And it was through the line of David that Jesus came on. If you have an appointment to see Jesus, I think Ruth will see Jesus before you. Relationship first. Blood first, Abby. Don't worry, in heaven there's no blood. Alright, in heaven there's no blood. Alright. See, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. Right? Alright, it's no blood. But you get what I'm trying to say. Alright, so you have a role to activate your helpers. This point is very important. I can't just run past it. Your kindness, respect, your love, your duty towards the person, your thank you so much, I really appreciate what you have done for me. No matter who the person is, can activate the person towards you. Somebody says that somebody is helping somebody. Real life. I'm telling you real life. You know, when I tell you this is a real, I'm a pastor. Oh man. I mean, somebody is helping somebody. He says it's your, he says, if it's me that have this, I would have helped you. I would have helped you. So there's no big deal. I mean, somebody give you something. Real life. I'm reading it like, me and my wife almost went gaga reading that. Just like, you see that somebody is helping you, helping has, and then you are like, no. You have, I know you that you're really present. You are well there, you are all that stuff. And if it were me in your position, I would do it. So, I'm not joking, it's written, reason. So, you are not really done anything. It's not as if you have done one thing. Really, I would read it and I'm like, eh? So it's not that I'm not privileged to have. You will never be privileged to have. Never. No scripture, nobody, nothing they will do anywhere will privilege you to have. I'm telling you. Don't worry. You don't understand. He says your rights by virtue of what he has to give to you. And you're not even going to be appreciative of it because he's following a divine command. Do you understand? No, you don't understand. That he is command to do it in chapter and verse because he's bigger. So therefore, you should do it. And if I were bigger than you, I would have done it. So you've not done anything. I don't think it's anger talking. I don't think there's any sense in it. If you calculate it, there's no sense there. That's just the truth. Huh? If you appreciate it, you get more. I know. The doors were shut. Closed permanently. It will be closed. I mean, people do that. Really, something like that. You do something like that. People are doing something like that. And so they don't understand that you can hinder your helper. You have a place to activate and divine helper. So if you understand this one, right? It was when Lot went to the angels and offered them shelter that he activated their help. Their help was there in the city, out there in the field. And it was he gave them food. He activated their help. So can we imagine that Lot, Lot walked past and said he doesn't care? He would have died though. So many times we read the stories and we do not see the thing that is there. And that's why God is helping us with this issue. He would have died. Real died. Died. I said it to matter. In Superbook, this is just, they had to show us a way. Like, I'm telling you now. I'm telling you. This I have not told you before, so pay attention. In Superbook, Naaman and that servant girl, the way they were raiding the place, I want to show you something in Superbook, so you can check it, because in Superbook the only way they could show it is that man was a kind of a man, was that in Superbook when they were raiding the city, some soldiers were tossing the girl up and down, the servant girl, and Naaman came as their commanding officer and said in Superbook that they had to picture him and say how he got the servant girl. They had to tell us how he got the girl and say, "Hey, here, move everything," and he told the girl, "Say, stay by me or else you continue to be there." And the lady was afraid. So one soldier, this on that soldier. You don't know whether if you follow him, something will happen to you. But she now was afraid and followed him. So go and check the Superbook. Superbook, Naaman and the Naaman leprosy. You check it. You see there. That is how they connected Naaman and the. It means he was the kind of a person to her. So, if only my master would go to Israel. There's a prophet that I will heal. He has been kind to me. He has protected me. Where other soldiers were, they would have raped her. They would have beaten her. They would have just left her up for dead. But Naaman came and protected her. So the truth is, the people receive things and people always think there is one divine thing there. But the person was a kind of a person. Abraham ran to meet the people and begged them. This is the key. I want to stay here because I want to show you how to activate your helper. They can be around you. They'll be looking at you. They won't move. The angels would have stayed there, sat down. Lot would have passed and passed. They would have been. Do you think for one moment that they would have gone to them and say, "Lord, we came to save you. We came to save you. Or yeah, let us eat in your house. Then we will save you." He would have missed it all and died for nothing. They would have gone, but they would say he was not deserving of it. Don't be the people and say, "We went there. He saw us and passed us. We didn't do anything. So therefore, okay." And they came for him particularly. You know what I mean? So he was a kind of a person. That's what I'm trying to show you. Look at all the people. They were a kind of a person. They were a kind of a person. So Paul was very grateful. Paul said, I thank you. Then remember, I want to show you something. I want to say something. I can't give you the scriptures now. It's in one of my notes somewhere. But in Acts, again, Acts of the Apostles, Paul's cousin, his sister's son. What's Paul's sister's son? That's what? Nephew, right? Paul's nephew came to warn him of a plot to kill him. Remember? In Acts of the Apostles, Paul's nephew came to warn him about a plot. Those people, when they took a vow that they would not eat till they kill Paul, it was his nephew that came to tell him. It was Paul's nephew that came. Why? Paul was the kind of a person. If Paul was man of God, and did not have a relationship with him, he would not have been able to come and tell him. He would have said God will send angels to protect him and left him alone. Man of God always said that he's man of God. And then he's going, and nothing, guy would have died. Paul didn't say, why are you telling me this story? Why are you telling me this nonsense? How are you going away? I'm divine. He said, don't tell anybody. Go and tell the prayer. That's the only way they shielded Paul and carried him past. So Paul had relationship. Relationship. Yes, it's clear. Nephew, keep the warning. See, I heard people saying that. Acts 23. Do I have the time? Hey, take Acts 23, 16. Leave it. Move. Take notes. If you are taking notes, take notes. This is my final hour. Final hour, I don't have luxury. As there's no loss, I mean, I'm firing this thing down. I've done 4 hours. Final hour, we touch down. So you are getting tired of hearing this thing, Abi? So I can continue after Easter Sunday? If God now speak to me and I really continue, don't be angry. You say, Pastor, you're creating one content. When I'm done with this teaching, you are set for life. I mean, this thing has set your life. This teaching, I compress everything together. You see. Point number six. I've given you point number six already before. Divine helpers, being human, will have flaws. Pride, ego, overthinking. When Elijah went to the woman, the widow woman, who God said, I have commanded to feed you, she was overthinking it because she was a human being. You have pride. So now, the divine helper being human, take note of this, it's not important that you understand that and deal accordingly. So that is why, you know, that's why the things I spoke about just now comes in respect, thanksgiving. Because a human being, he needs it. He needs his ego. You cannot say thank you. You cannot appreciate. You cannot do this. Then what will they do? So he's a human being. So divine helpers, they are human beings. They will have it. They will have it. Without that, then you might miss it there. You might overthink it. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter number 15 and verse number 1, soft answer turneth away wrath. So your soft answer is important. Somebody say, I don't know how to. If you don't know how to talk, learn how to talk. I'm not joking. It's in your Bible. Soft answer turneth away wrath. Somebody is angry. Just they'll call you a question. You did this, did it? Soft answer turneth away wrath. I'm sorry, sir. Somebody say they cannot go and later and say, it's just me. I don't know how to talk. Learn how to talk. Learn how to talk. There's something that somebody put up. No, that's the truth. You have to talk. I mean, there was this lady that was in. I was walking one time with my wife, where she works, a place of work. And this lady, everybody had a problem with her. Part of the reason is that, truthfully, when they tell me, when she come and tell me what she did, I say, hey! And she doesn't have to talk. But really, she will catch up with her. The same time, the man has to get out here. Because, truthfully, she didn't have to talk. But, now, I'm inside church on Sunday, I'm telling you now. So, you know, they didn't tell you, learn how to talk. You could be talking somehow in a place of work. Hello, madam, your husband, you and your husband called this morning. You ask your boss, who's that you and your husband calling? You see? They know they, I'm not joking. When they ask, they say, what did I say now? What did I say? She's just, upstairs, nobody upstairs. I mean, you miss that? Yeah? Just too simple. You know what I mean? Like, okay, simple now. You're in that trouble. And the same thing. Same thing. Where is it simple? She doesn't matter any language you want to use. Did she suffer the consequences? Yes. Your divine helpers are human. The same person that bundled her and cast her out of that place, the same person is a very pivotal helper to many people. You come and meet my wife, say, see, go and meet her. She will help you. She says, so, don't you have any, but if you do anyhow, somebody that can help you will turn out to not be a helper to you at all. Amen? Yes. Point number 7. I have to move. Soft answer turn it away. Proverbs 15:1. You have to learn soft answer, right? And they overthink. So you have to explain. Let me quickly do this. Elijah came and said, bring water for me to drink. As he was going, he said, just make small bread. He said big bread. Small bread and bring. You know, he's a human being there. He just come. Thus saith the Lord God, you are my helper. Give me bread. And I said, thunder fire you. I don't get bread. Come on. But he can say, I beg, just bring small water for me. She didn't say no problem. Water was difficult, but it was at least better. Bring water. As she was going, she just started. I don't have anybody. There's no, she was overthinking it. And the provision was already made in her to provide. I said, first, just go and do as I have said. Don't worry. And she did it. She entered into a miracle. So sometimes they could overthink. It's normal. So you can't use power and force and say, that's how I am. You know, so they have pride, they have ego. Thank you. And all those things will also help. They are human, so they have flaws. Somebody that wants to help you. Let me tell you one of the greatest things I learned. I was in a meeting. I can't tell you. I mean, maybe 18, 19 years ago. And the man of God gave this example. I can never forget. There are things that still. And I know some of you are looking at me and doing your face. And me, I was like, And he said, sandpaper will help this knife. Then they will cast the sandpaper away. And then you have a sharp knife. He said, God can use people with flaws to help you. His goal is to help you, it's not them. They will be cast away, but you will now be better off in your life. So do not let their actions and their behavior stop what God wants to do in your life. Hey! I've grown into a trainer. I was a very straight person like this. Pew! You do anyhow, you see anyhow. You see, they have flaws, but God can use them to help you. He cannot, if the person that must help you must be perfect, the people that want to help you, they will not be perfect. You yourself, you are not perfect. So if you are looking for their error, the person that wants to help you, the way is wicked, he can be wicked to everybody, but God wants to use him to help you. You behave yourself well. I bet somebody is helping. The person that is helping me, he lives a kind of a funny life. I don't like the life. I will never live the life. I don't have business with the life. He's positioned to help me. It's some paper. He can do that, some paper. And then when the thing it clicked inside my head like this. I was like, because I always thought that if you have we don't have to be the same kind of person. You can have flaws. The helper can have flaws, right? Can be lower, can be flawed, ego, pride, everything. But you must be a kind of a person, collect and whatever, right? Now, I will give you a point that will help you in this regard. Are we done there? Point number 7, divine helpers have the right to help you, to help or not to help you. They have the right, I'm running out of time. They have the right to help or not to help you. It is within their prerogative to help or not to help you. Now, that statement is important. Why is that important? All right. This point is very important. You must understand that the helpers always had options. Ruth could walk away from Naomi. Right? The slave could decide, I can't tell you anything. I can't tell you anything. I love my life more than you. If you're not going to tell you, not carry me and I'm not going to die. I say, I will not. Right? They always had the options. They can help you. They have choose to help you or not to help you. It's within their rights. They can choose to give to you or not to give to you. Now, that it is important that we understand that, because it will now mean that it will help us subsequently to not now take matters into our own hands. Why I'm saying that, let me give you this instruction, because I have to pass it. One more point to go, and I'm out of time. Now, if we miss this point, you can now become offended. Your offense will now be your error. His error is already his error. If your helper decides not to help you, No matter what you have done, like somebody said, I've given him food, I've helped him, I've built all that, you know, I've built the relationship like pastor has told us to do, I do that. And this person is wicked. So therefore, what I will do, now be, if there's one door like this, I will make sure he suffers. It is the story, the best story I can give you, and I don't have time to read it in full, is the story of Naomi, of Abigail and David. Nabal was to help David. It was designed to help David. The man was designed to help David. David needed food. Now, David has already done his job by taking care of his flock in the field. Has helped him sufficiently. So David now said, you now have shearers. Your sheep, you are sharing your sheep and all that. Just let me just get a portion. Nabal said, nothing will happen. I'm not giving you a dime, nothing. David now said, I am going to kill him. Right? We'll learn from story. I can't read the whole story. It says, story. In 1 Samuel chapter number 25, don't turn there. Just take note. Go and read this assignment. Jesus said, you are tired. I'm finishing today. Fire by thunder. If I were not finishing today, I will continue next week. But the way I'm doing today, we'll be in church for the next 1 hour. Because I have to finish today. Shay, that's what you chose. It's your fault. It's not my fault. Now, so, David now says, I'm going to kill him. He is approaching there, and Abigail told him something very important. If you shed blood, you have spoiled everything that God has done for you. Do you hear what I said now? So it is important that you understand that they have the right to help you or not to help you. But you cannot now begin to insult them. Subsequently, help can come from that same place. If you destroy, as I told you, don't destroy anything. Leave it intact and go. At the end of the day, Nabal died. And, you know the story? You guys know the story there. The Bible says she was fair. When Bible says lady was fair, don't mistake it. So if you had gone there and killed everybody, she would have been heartbroken and not probably have been interested. But she was very interested. David said, your husband has died, pack your load. She said, now. You are a nice guy. I know you. I speak to you before. You are understanding. That's the kind of man. In short, that's the man I'll be praying for. Not this stupid one that died here. And she went. So you are a killer. You came and killed my children, killed everybody, and left only me. I should come to your house. God forbid. You see, it's important that you do not take matters into your own hands, right? So they have your helpers have the point to help you or not to help you. Esther chapter number 4. I'll show you this one. Do not take matters into your own hands. You now say, so if they don't help me, I will die. I want to show you that nothing will happen to you. I want to show you that God sends the helper, but he's bigger than the helper. Esther chapter number 4 and verse number 14. So if somebody decides not to help you, do not, I'm giving you rules. You see, I said I don't teach like this. I'm forcing rules. I'm giving rules. And I'm showing you, but I'm giving you the scriptures to guide you. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace, you know the verse very well, you know it. At this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But it will always come from another place. God will use another place. Esther, go and talk to the king for the Jews. They want to kill all of us. Esther says she cannot go. What will end? She will not die. Well, if you will not go and help us, deliverance will come from another place. Right? We will not go to the king and say, since you will not help us, king, this lady is a Jew. She's a bad person. In short, you will not do all that. But, well, God will help us. Can you in your place know that God, when the Bible says, are you still in church? When the Bible says the heart of kings is in the heart of man, and he turns it wheresoever he will, it means that he can touch another person. Can you in your place say, God, this person, this real design, this is not working like this, but I pray that you will touch the heart of somebody to help me and leave the matter like that. Right? If he will not help you, it is his business. He has eternal reward there to lose. He's the one that will lose something, right? If you take matters into your own, he will lose something in eternity. If he's designed to help you and does not, he will lose something in eternity. That's his business. Your own business is not to lose here on earth by being stupid. If you now go and do something stupid, you will not lose here. He will lose in eternity, but you will lose here. So don't. Calm down. Let God open doors for you. If you will not use it. And let me tell you, many times, when a helper decides not to help you, God usually gets angry. The help he will not give you, he will be so, the person he will send to help you, he will be so so powerful that the person that is not helping will regret it.
I'm not joking. I'm telling you. I'm telling you. I know God. Me and him, we talk from time to time. Huh? Only one person got that joke. Eh? We talk from time to time. If we do it in a powerful way, he will help you. And his help will be so marvelous that you like, I thought if I didn't help you, that, I mean, that's how God does. So wait for that one. Don't use your hand to spoil anything. Don't do anything. Help will come from another place. Right? In 1 Samuel 25, Nabal did not help David, but David was not going to take action and say, no, don't do that. That's something very powerful. Point number 8. This one is also clear, simple. I think it's good. You get it. Divine. Okay, you're already right. I have that kind of power. I will not say it again. You are taking matters into your hand, have you? You are cursing me, your man. I just told you not to do that. He's supposed to teach us that thing. Is he by force? It's my teaching. I won't teach it. All right. I'm out of time, but I have to. If I don't come down like this, I'll lose it here. So let's do it. Let's finish up. Divine helpers, they do not only give money. Money is not the only thing that divine helpers give you. People in Nigeria, Africa, don't let money. I'm trying to relax. That's me relaxing. Money, just they use money to do you something. No matter what, somebody can do everything. Money. Divine helpers. They don't only give money. Lord was giving protection. Was not giving money. They say that one is not help. It's not help. David, the man guided the slave guided David on the path to take and where they were. Did the man give David money back? There was no money there. Naomi now became a millionaire and now gave Ruth money. That's what you're always thinking. When I said you have to help the person, you say, when he has now become a big man, he will not help me. In fact, he can become a big man and ignore you. Yes. Say, no, not give me money back. So, Naomi did not give Ruth money at any point in time. No one point in time did Naomi give Ruth money. If she said that to work, she will work and bring the food home and they will eat it. Ruth was helping her. But Naomi gave her connection. Naomi gave her counsel. Right? Connection and counsel. So Naomi gave connection and counsel. Esther, that was helped by, we just read just now, went to go and speak on the behalf of the Jews. She didn't give them money. She was queen. She didn't share money. Mordecai was still at the ghetto. You know that her uncle did not become anything through her. He didn't give him money. If you are still in church, bless her down. This one I left for last. It's powerful. Because somebody cannot help many people. I don't say many of you. You guys are delivered. You are in World Pastor Church, have you? Huh? Helpers are flooding around you. But as far as they did not count 50,000 and give to you, they are not among your helpers. You know your helpers now. You know them. You know your helpers. You know your helpers now. That's not the case. If you get these 8 principles, it will really help you. So, I'll tell you, Naomi gave counsel, slave guided David, and they helped, right? Abraham received blessing. Blessing. Right? Abraham received blessing. And that's all he got. So by this time, I said, don't receive the blessing from there. Lord received guidance and protection. They helped protect him and took him out of the city. They didn't get money. In many cases, helping is not about money. You see rejection. I'm seeing it in your eyes. As I'm looking at you, I'm seeing it. You say, Pastor, you spread that one. Pastor, spread that one. I know spoiler. I'm delivering you. A friend might not give you money, but he can help you. When you get to that place, you have a place to stay. That's a helping you. You might not have money to give you. Somebody can even connect you to where you get a loan. Loan. That's help. Right? Somebody can call you and say, this is the way you are doing your business. Eh? It's not like that. Do your business like this. If you stop the way you are talking to your customer, just sit in your office up and say, I saw you talking, don't do that, don't do that. And that person has helped you. But he didn't give you money. If you are counting your helpers,
You say, he never helped me. That's the problem. Read this. Read the Bible. Money, it's not about money exchanging hands. It's not about that. So no one will talk about divine power. So when you are praying, when you start, Lord, let my helper, I know what you are asking for. I've spotted it. I've delivered you. I've corrected it. Now, when you are praying for people that will guide you. You are praying for people that will speak wisdom into your life. Right? You are praying for people that will counsel you. You are praying for friends who will just, they won't give you counsel, they will just be by your side. When you are drinking curry, they will join you. The small curry you brought, they will join you to eat it with joy together. Say, Pastor, she spoiled that one. I know spoiler. Naomi and Ruth, they were suffering together. They were suffering together. And when Ruth gave birth, who nursed the child? Naomi. Did you hear Ruth? You didn't hear Ruth again. All the bad, you didn't hear Ruth again. Ruth that was married, I gave you a child, and the women named the child. They were all Naomi. That's the way it is. It's not about money. Sometimes it's about being there. Just somebody being there with you is enough to say this person is one of my helpers. So you can identify your helpers and you can activate them. And you will get uncommon results, and people will think you fell from sky. They will say there's an unusual grace upon your head, and that grace will be because of the wisdom of the word of God that is guiding your life. Will you bow your heads? I want to pray for you. Sapa, kilo, parigedes, in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray for your people. I pray. In the course of these 5 hours, I have ministered your word to them. I pray that the grace of this word will rest upon them. In the name of Jesus, I pray that they will receive the wisdom and to be able to identify, and they will receive the grace and strength to activate their helpers. In the name of Jesus. I pray that their eyes will be open to see the people you've designed to help them, all around them. In the name of Jesus. I pray also that the hearts of their helpers will be open towards them for counsel, guidance, for giving, for everything you've designed them to give to them. In the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray that the good things that you have designed for your children, they will enjoy them. In the name of Jesus. I pray that they will go beyond good news, that they will begin to enjoy the good things. The glad tidings of good things it will be their portion this year. In the name of Jesus. That I pray that their helpers will see them and also recognize them. I pray that their helpers will not overthink. Their helpers will not be walking in ego and pride. In the name of Jesus. I pray that you will help them activate their helpers. You will help them to be humble and kind and nice. In the name of Jesus. I pray that you help them build relationships. That your word will become flesh in their lives. And they will receive your word. In the name of Jesus. As many that receive him, he gave them power to become sons of God. Lord, these ones will receive your word. And they will receive grace and power to enter into the destiny you have prepared for them. In the name of Jesus. I pray that this word will work mightily in their lives. Work mightily in their lives. In the name of Jesus. I and they that God has given me, we are for signs and wonders. They will walk in power. They will walk in miracles. They will walk in abundance. In the name of Jesus, by virtue of this teaching, they will be established in this truth and in all righteousness. In the mighty name of Jesus, they will march forward. They will march forward. Enter into new things. Enter into greater things. In the mighty name of Jesus, I speak also healing for their bodies. I speak healing for their bodies. In the mighty name of Jesus, I speak soundness of mind. Soundness of mind. Yes, wisdom is loud inside of you. You are walking in wisdom. Yes, in the name of Jesus, the power of the highest overshadows you. The power of the highest overshadows you. The power of the highest overshadows you. In the name of Jesus, I speak concerning your life open doors. I speak concerning your life good things. I speak concerning your life good news. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, my Father. Can somebody give God praise in the house? Say, Father, I thank you. I thank you, Father. These truths are in my heart. I'm walking by them. The grace of the world is active in my life. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah.
Come on, can we put our hands together for our pastor? Thank you so much, sir, for blessing us with the word of God.